Hi, Taimaze. I am your host, Diana, and you are listening to the Taiwanese Girl Podcast. This is a show where we can have a relaxed conversation about what it is like growing up as Asian Australians and being Taiwanese, navigating adulthood as I am now going to my 30s. Come on the journey with me and let's chat. In the spirit of reconciliation, the Taiwanese Girl Podcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of the country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders peoples today. All right, we are recording.
Yay!
Yay! It's finally happening.
I know, it's been so long. Sorry, it's probably my fault.
Yeah, Miss Busy. So busy.
Short-staffed. I'm really short-staffed.
I know. So I'm really happy that you're back on this podcast because I need to do my intro, hey?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, do your intro.
So welcome back, Taimaze. I brought another Taimaze today.
Here.
Yeah. I thought who better to invite onto this topic of podcast than Ruby because in the third episode, if you guys listened to that one, she was the one who said, I love money. And I'm like, well, it's perfect. So we'll bring her on to this week's podcast episode is, does money equal success or does it equal happiness? Like, I think that's like a really interesting topic for all of us, I feel like, in Asian culture, because money technically doesn't really equal happiness or whatever. I think it depends how you define it. So we're going to dive into that topic today, but we're just going to have a quick chat about what we did lately, honestly, have a bit of a quick catch up with you guys because I haven't posted in so long and I've been so busy with my new job. And Ruby just went to the dentist. she cried through the whole lot, what she told me.
No, I did. It was literally the most painful experience I ever had in my whole entire life. And I have a high pain tolerance.
Yeah, you said that to me.
Yeah, I do. I really do. Like, I've been in pain for a couple of weeks already. I took Panadol, Advil, antibiotics. Nothing's working. Mm. And then I went this time. So when you have an infection and you still get local anesthetic.
Yeah.
But the anesthesia didn't really work.
Right.
So then without the anesthesia.
Oh, my God.
It opens up
That's
your
right.
tooth.
Your dentist didn't give you did the anesthetic not work?
He did give me local, but it just didn't really work. It numbed the outside, but when he opened the tooth, like the nerves, it still hurts when he plucks the nerves out.
Oh my God, that hurts.
And that
already
is why I cried.
I have the biggest fear, you know me, I have the biggest fear with dentists. I absolutely hate it. Yeah. So I don't know how you did it, but
I just need to get it done. I can't eat.
Yeah.
It's your day.
My day, it's been good. Like, I think with my new job, because as you know, like, I got into government, like, I wasn't really that busy for like a good whole month, but I finally am busy now, which I'm really, really happy about. Like, I actually did a site visit at PA Hospital on Tuesday. I was there the whole day. Yeah. And I was looking over like just things, which confidential, I can't really say, but yeah, I'm just there doing some more like infrastructure. I can say that because, I'm just there to look at infrastructure projects that currently one of my other team is working on, because I'm also taking over 4 different hospitals, but they're smaller next year. So I'm really just going there to kind of have a look at what is a day in the life like for a site visit trip. So so that's been a big highlight for me this week. So my week's been great actually, because I feel like I'm learning lots, and I just feel like I'm being useful. And not
you
just
are useful,
and I'm just not
kidding?
Sitting there doing absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? So my day's great. Thanks for asking.
Of course.
Thanks for asking.
So honored.
Like, you asked me.
There's a really nice cafe near PA. Actually.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of nice cafes near PA. But anyway, I thought actually, you know what? I feel like we should reintroduce ourself, because I feel like even though I've introduced Ruby and myself in the past few episode 3, I feel like, I don't know, maybe
it's
we'll just
good to have a refresher.
We'll just reintroduce ourselves. So I guess I'll go first. So I'm the host, and my name is Diana. I'm 29 years old. My hobby is novels, especially fantasy romance. Not nerdy at all. I used to be in podiatry, but then no, I'm now corporate girly now. I am married for 2 years. I have a dog called Didi, which means little brother in Chinese. You have two dogs, but
one is called Meme.
Oh, one is, well, Ruby's other dog is Mellow. But
I call her Meme, yeah, which is little sister in
yeah,
Chinese.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
What else? Maybe ask me some questions. I don't know. What else am I missing?
No, I think you summed it up pretty well. The great thing about Diana is that this is why we vibe so well. We want to find a career that we actually do enjoy in doing.
Oh, for sure.
And you're not afraid to kind of jump ships to find exactly what you want to
do. Oh, I jumped a lot of ships.
And that's nothing to be ashamed of.
No, yeah. No, definitely. And I think this is a great segue into today's topic, but after Ruby reintroduce herself to you guys, because she's going to be on my podcast quite a fair bit. I'm trying to convince her into being my co-host.
Oh, do I like to eat some fun?
Yeah, so true. Literally, I swear she was here last Friday and she's here again this Friday, but only for this podcast. But I reckon it's going to be like a weekly thing. It's just like, yeah, hold on, hold on. Okay, yes. 讲不到好像是我自己在煮。 Anyway, okay, true. but yes, no. I'm gonna hand it over to Ruby to introduce herself.
Hi guys, my name's Ruby. I'm also 29 years old. I am Diana's best friend. Admit it. Yeah, so talk about jumping ships. I started off as a radiographer. I went into commercial real estate, started my own business, but now I'm full-time in the medical device industry. I manage Victoria in the interventional pain portfolio. That's taking up a lot of my energy right now because we're very short-staffed. But yeah.
So what about your little bit of your personal life?
Oh, my
so you
hobbies.
Have two dogs?
I have two dogs. Yeah. A Maltese poodle and a poodle. They're literally my little angels. It's Tofu and Mellow. Yes,
they're
she's
very
laughing
vocal.
Because I spoil them so much.
Too much.
They only have a decade to live, guys. Can I just share animal? Like dogs especially, they just give you so much love. Yes. There's no reason to.
No, that's true. I agree.
Yeah. And they only have like a decade, like max 2 decades to live. So you got to just try and give them the best that you can.
That's true.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I do spoil them. But they deserve it.
Okay, so what about your hobbies?
I like music. I really do listen to a lot of R&B songs.
Actually, Ruby loves to go karaoke.
I want to learn how to sing properly. I have a musical, I've learned classical music, but now, I don't really play piano as much. So, yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah, just.
But you used to be quite a pro piano player. Did you take that test?
My piano teacher was a freak.
Oh, wait, did you take that test?
Elmas.
Are you at the point where you can teach?
Did
you
got that? I taught. Yeah.
Oh, did you
taught? Years. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So I was in a couple of musicals as well, like just accompanying, and then I taught for a couple of years.
Yeah. How many years?
Like at least half a decade.
Oh, really?
Just like on the side while I worked as a radiographer. Because I can't
stay
still.
Why you're working as a radiographer?
Yeah, because, you 9 to 5, what are you going to do after 5?
Oh, damn. Well, that's a great way to make some extra money.
Yeah, which brings us to the topic today. I love money, but there's a lot more to dive in. I don't know if what you're going to hear is what you expected to hear.
That's true.
So I'll let Diana take.
I think we have, I feel, lead. I have a feeling that we have different takes, or we could have.
I think so.
Or we could have similar takes. I don't know, but we actually haven't really pre-discussed our thoughts because I want this podcast to be a really authentic way of us expressing what we think about this topic. Because, yeah. Anyway, we'll dive in. Yeah.
Okay.
All
yeah. Right? Let's do it. Take
okay.
The lead.
Great. No filter. The family that we come from, it's either they fully moved or you have to have some sort of fortune behind your family background for us to even be here. So one, I would like to say we're very grateful for that. But I think because of it, money can perceive very differently for us than to the others, especially you guys that are listening that may not be in the same position as we are, or vice versa. I don't know about how what you guys think, but definitely leave the comment in my in this podcast. Actually, I'll leave up a poll, and yeah, and then you guys just go vote, and then we'll see what the results are. I think that would be really, really interesting.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry, back to defining success in Asian culture. What do you think, Ruby?
In Asian culture, I think stereotypically, everyone thinks that, you know, being a doctor or like a lawyer or an accountant is success.
Mm-hmm.
But as you grow up, I honestly think everyone defines success differently. Like, to me, okay, like, success doesn't equal to money. Yes, I love money, but success is a little bit more detailed. Like, you need a bit more, I guess, you need to analyze it a little bit more. Because I know people who are, like, who have families and then they put their baby to sleep and they're like, yes, that's success.
That's true.
Yeah, so, like, little goals and then having big goals as well. Like, that's what I define as success. Mm. Whereas money, it gives you the freedom to have an abundance of choices.
That's true.
It just doesn't restrict you from doing things that you want to do.
Which I think can also define as it does equal happiness in a way. However, you cannot buy love. I think that's the only way. That's my take on it. Yeah. So it's like, yes, I think money can buy you happiness because it gives you, like you said, the freedom to do whatever you want. And obviously, if you do the things that your heart desire, of course, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, money doesn't buy love.
No.
You know,
no,
the happiness that we're talking about here, I reckon it's more materialistic. Mm. It's more lifestyle and it's more like, I don't know, how you use money to bring quality of life, I guess. Because, you know, I think,
if anything, I think money frames your lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Money frames your lifestyle. Yeah, that's a good way to, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Right. But does it mean that you're successful? No. Like, you could be in a very fortunate situation where you have, you know, you have like a rich family.
Mm.
But you're do not, you feel successful? Like, no, you probably want to get somewhere in your career, right?
Yeah, that's it. I think, I think if you're coming from like a really rich family, you're the person that's in it, I wouldn't define them as successful. Their family, their parents, oh yeah.
Potentially.
You know what I mean? Yeah, potentially.
If they've actually traveled so much to the extent that they have a successful business.
Yeah.
But in saying that, to the public eye, they may see them as successful, but to themselves.
Yeah.
They might have different goals.
They might have different goals. That's true.
So I think success is very personal.
It is very, very personal. And I think, like, for me, though, I think for Asian families in general, though, money does equal success to them.
You think?
Mm, most, like, if you think about traditional Asian families, if you think from their, not from our family is quite forward thinking.
Yeah.
But then if you think about some of the friends that's around us, that's a little bit more traditional.
That's probably true.
Money does equal success to them. It may not to us in this generation, but to the family, like to the first immigrant generation, like our family, they view money as success because they feel like, well, if you earn a lot of money, you can take care of yourself, that's success. And then some, and I wouldn't say it's any of our family, any of our friends around us, really. I think, but if you look at social media and, you know, a lot of the movies out there or whatever, like the way they portray it, it's like to some degree it's stereotype, but to some degree it's the truth.
Yeah, that that's
when
true.
You work so hard as mom and dad who bring you over to a country that has a bit more freedom, I think to them they want their kids to do well, right?
Mm.
And then they associate that with how much money you earn and what is the status that you are. So like you said, like doctor, engineering, accountant, lawyer. You know, all these things, A pluses, suicide fives. Do you remember?
What is this, A minus?
But do you remember like the suicide fives in high school?
Oh,
like, you know how you
want
to get into medicine?
So
for those,
it wasn't, it didn't relate to me, unfortunately.
No, it didn't relate to me either. But for those listening out there, like in Australia, the back in high school, back when we were in high school, the suicide five was, what was it? English, Maths B, Maths C, Biology, Chemistry,
and Physics.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we call the suicide five.
Yeah. I didn't do physics.
No.
Did you do any?
I did chemistry. No, I did Maths A. Wow. I am so not Asian. Anyway, but look, hey, Maths A is the best math, okay? Maths A is like your daily math.
To be fair, we don't use anything. You don't even freaking use Maths in our day-to-day lifestyle.
Unless you're an engineer, you know, you have to calculate shit, or business analyst, yeah, or whatever, soon. Like if you're that. Sure, yeah, go for it. But no, honestly, it's so unrealistic. But anyway, we'll move on from that because... Let's not get into that. But yeah, so...
I agree when you say, because I know the Chinese culture, I mean, any Chinese listeners out there, correct me if I'm wrong. Mm. But when you get into society, one way to kind of show that you're successful is to buy luxury brands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The amount of LV belts I see.
Yeah, and it's not like... I mean, yeah, in a sense it's showing, but it's also like a representation that they've succeeded in their mind and they just want to be proud of it. I think that's so. Okay.
That's also okay. Look, it's your money. Spend it however the way, you know, you want it to, right?
Yeah.
Like exactly. Whatever makes you happy. But then I think that's what we're trying to say is like money equals success / happiness. Like you said, it's super, super personal because it can come from the background you're from. Like you could be from, I don't know, from a struggling family. And I know that when you're in that environment, you know, your survival mode comes out and money may seem like one of those things where you made it because you got the money, you're able to elevate your lifestyle. Mm. Then you see that as success. But then if you compare it to someone from a little bit more of a well-off family, well, does money equal success? Yes, no, in a way. I think success is probably like more of like the people you know, connection, networking.
That's you. Yeah.
Is that right?
I think because it's so personal, everybody has a different sense. But because you love the comfy lifestyle, like
yeah.
That's what you value.
That's true. I do like the nice lifestyle, but because I love it, I strive for it. I strive to earn more money. But to me, that's not success. I think it's more so when I'm able to buy the things I want to buy without my parents' money, that is success to me. That is success to me. And if I'm able to make my home or just my life in general with my husband like comfortable enough, both of us together, that's success for me. Mm. But I think ultimately having like a nice family is success for me. And I'm not saying like kids, but I think just generally like my relationship with my friends, my family, that's
so heartwarming.
Yeah, love well it. I'm a Cancer and moon. Search that up. We were just searching that up the other day, weren't we?
We were star talking about signs. Horoscopes. Like I just scratch the surface of horoscopes, and then Diana knows a whole bunch about it, and then she was feeding me all these information. And she asked me what star and sun sign I was. I told her. She's like, oh, that's why.
You know, actually, on that topic, so out of topic, but I actually offended someone because of star sign. So, like, I worked with this manager in my last job, right? Oh, and I do not, and I'm so sorry for all the Aries out there, but I do not get along with any Aries. No, Aries, you're a Gemini.
Sun. I'm an Aries sun.
No, I'm talking about sun sign.
Wait, what's...
Your Aries moon.
A moon, okay.
Aries, oh my God. Okay.
Half Aries?
Half? No, your Aries moon. That's different. Is that's it? Different. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But no, so sun, so sorry. Sun sign in Aries. So I don't get along with people like Aries, like sun sign. And it's not like... I mean, some I do, but some... I scratch the surface with him. Anyway, I had this manager that I work with, and I think just one day out of the blue... You know, after work, we're just sitting around the desk having, you know, a beer on a Friday. That's what we do here. And then I think we started talking about the topic of horoscope. Mm. And then I asked that manager and I said, hey, what star sign are you? And he was like, oh, I think I'm an Aries. And I, not even a breath, I was like, oh, that's what. Wow. And I just completely offended. I just completely offended my manager. But anyway, he's a champ. He doesn't really care. Like he's a guy, like he doesn't really care about that kind of stuff.
Honestly, that's one thing I love about you. You have no filter. You're have so no straightforward, filter. Honest.
Yeah. Like it's just so funny. But like, yeah, anyway, he wasn't offended. That's the good thing about it. But anyway, so yeah, that's
I don't know how I'd react.
Yeah, how would you react?
I'm a Gemini. Oh.
Oh, that's why.
I would have been like, oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for thinking that I'm two-faced. Oh, you bitch.
No, I would have been like, thank you. I know I'm gorgeous.
Wow.
Yeah, confidence. Look, you need confidence.
Honestly, this is what I love about Ruby. And this is why I get along with Gemini so well. I think they're just such a fun star sign, honestly. Like, I get along with super well with, like, Gemini, Aquarius, Scorpios, Cancer, Virgo. Like, I think the only star sign I don't really get along with is probably Aries and Leo.
Oh, I love Leos. Are you kidding? I love Aries as well.
My brother's a Leo.
Oh, really?
That's why. That's why I'm saying that. I just don't get
along. You need to just, you know.
But men Aries, though. But men's Aries, though. I mean, sorry, men Leo. I don't get along with Leo than men. Yeah. And men Pisces. No.
Pisces is a...
Strong you too.
Oh, I'm not mad.
Yeah, but I don't get along with them. I think they're too emotional.
Mm, 有点.
对, yeah. Anyway, that's a bit sidetracked. But yeah, that's on the topic of horoscope. But yeah, look, let's just, yeah, we'll bring it back to money success. But I think in terms of job hopping, because we touch base a little bit on that, like how you're saying, like I job hop quite a fair bit and it's not a bad thing. However, I think, I don't know if you noticed, but like in a lot of Asian parents' eyes, they find that job hopping is disappointing to them.
Yes, they value stability.
Stability. But it's not how it works in 2023.
No. Yeah.
Because when I job hopped from podiatry to real estate to being a project coordinator at a construction company now to my government job, my parents weren't so keen when I job hopped from being a health professional to real estate. They were like, that's absurd. Like, we spent so much money on you. Why did you want to like job hop from something that's so stable? But the thing is, I can't imagine myself clipping somebody else's toenails for the rest of my life. And I can be damn sure a lot of podiatrists out there can agree with me on that. Like, the lifespan of a podiatrist is 5 years. Like, your brother's a podiatrist, but he's not technically doing like a full on podiatry role. Like, he's technically management, right?
Yeah.
So, oh, Ruby's brother is actually a year older. He's a older student at QUT. 没有他的我学长. Oh, yeah, 他学长啊. Still, even though he's 3 years. Oh, yeah, sorry. 3 years, yeah. But 他还是学长. Yeah.
他比你想象中的还老.
Yeah, I know. That's true. Sorry, Kevin. But yeah.
我等下send这个podcast给他.
Yeah, bit of a memory. Down memory lane. So
yeah.
That's fine.
So podiatry.
Yeah, basically when I jumped ship a lot across my career, my mum and dad wasn't like the biggest fan. Like, actually my dad was quite angry about it. And I think because when I jumped ship, I was only like, what, 23? Yeah. And at the time, I also wanted to move out. My dad got so angry at me for wanting to move out.
That was like a double attack.
So. Yeah. And it was a double whammy because he was like, well, why did you want to move out? Like, you could have saved money at home. Like, why did you want to move out?
Because I think, I don't know about the younger generation, but moving from one career to another, it's a huge step for a lot of people.
It is.
I think it'll be good because we've experienced it and we don't regret it. So for a lot of people that are thinking about, you know, what they're going through right now, you might feel like your work is really mundane. It's not for you. It's important to evaluate where you're at and what you want to do, like what makes you happy. You spend literally most of your time at work. So it's actually important to do what you love or at least enjoy. And finding what you love is not easy. Like, you have to dab into all the things. Like, it took me a couple years.
Same.
Like, I feel like I'm still finding it, to be honest. But I'm content.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, you rather dive into it, fail, than look back and be like, I wish I did that 10 years ago.
Oh, 100%. I totally agree with that. I feel like, you said, we spend like 80% of our life at work.
Yeah.
You spend about 80% of your life actually with your workmates more than your friends. Like, I feel like you see them every single day. You have to choose something that you actually love. And if you don't, if you feel like you could be doing a job and you could do it really well, and then you plateau because your skill is up to date.
Mm-hmm.
that's when you need to actually like excel. That's when you, like, if you're feeling like, oh, I don't want to get up today. It's the same shit every day. It's the same thing. You know, I'm talking to the same people, the same topic. That's when you know that you need to look elsewhere.
Yeah.
That's a massive, like.
And it's for your health as well. Like, if your brain's not moving,
it's for your mental health. I know. It's for your mental health as well. Like, yeah. Because when you're in a job that you're super unhappy,
yeah,
it affects your mental health so, so much. I think that's so important, right?
Like, yeah,
I
feel like. Especially nowadays, everybody's talking about mental health.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I 100% agree with you. If you feel mundane or you're not happy, just change.
Yeah.
Like you still, like if you're at our age, like nearly 30, we still have to work for another, well, let's hope, 30 years?
Yeah, or more. But biggest tip though, before you change, just try and learn everything that you can while you're in the job.
Yeah.
You want to leverage as much as you can.
100%.
Yeah, there's always more to learn. Try to learn as much as you can until you... And there's going to... You'll be surprised. Like, just put yourself out there. Do more than your job description.
Oh, yeah. Don't complain about the fact that, oh, I'm not getting paid. This is above my pay grade. No. If you're just starting out in society, you're just starting out, whatever you're doing, learn as much as you can. Don't whinge. I'm sorry, but I really have to say that because I see so many younger generation, and I'm not saying I'm much that older, but I'm sure you can agree with me. But I feel like people are always saying that's above my pay grade. I understand that, but I feel like at the same time, if you're just starting out, you just got out of uni, get as much experience as you can, get hold of like a really good mentor at the workplace that you're at, grab onto them, learn as much as you can, take that with you. Then you can go for another job with a lot higher pay.
Yeah. You know, otherwise you're not going to be able to jump ships into something better.
Exactly. And the thing is, like, another tip I'll give you when it comes to like working is the fact that don't associate being in a job because you like the people. They're not your family. I have to be very blunt on that. Like, work people aren't your family. At the end of the day, that it's just work, but you want to make sure that you can separate yourself from the fact that you really like working with these people, but when you are at the point where you need to upskill, that's when you need to move on. What do you think?
Oh my god, I have a different take. Really? I love the people I work with, especially when I first was a radiographer. All the radiographers I was with, I love them. We were like a family.
Really?
We hung out.
Maybe
we
I have like, bad experience
maybe
then.
You did. Yeah, but that's I came out of society. That was my first full-time job, even the one before. Like, everybody was so tight-knit, and that's why I value culture so much.
Did you felt like at a certain point that you felt plateaued in your job?
I did, but that's because everybody respected each other as an individual as well, and they all know we are still young. Like, we want to thrive as much as we can. Yeah. So all my colleagues, they were so supportive. I wanted to move out of the state. I wanted to do something different. Everybody was just like researching and talking to other people for me.
Yeah,
it was lovely.
Really?
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, so I had an amazing experience.
Yeah, but no, but what I'm saying is, like, that's when you moved, right? Like, when you wanted to venture elsewhere.
Yeah,
right.
But I know what you mean though. Yeah. Especially, it depends on the culture. Like, a lot of people, because I guess when I worked as a radiographer, it's also like a very, I don't know, Asian cultures make a difference.
Is it?
But
is it a very Asian culture thing?
It was a very Asian culture. Like, we're pharmacy. A little bit more personalized.
Sorry, we're laughing because back when we were doing uni,
everybody wants to do pharmacy.
Pharmacy was overly packed. They have to raise the OP. So for those people out there that isn't in the OP era, we were in the OP era. Now they've made it into ATAR. But anyway, but back in the day, yeah, everyone wants to do pharmacy, and it was overly packed that they have to raise their OP. Did you know about that?
To five.
Oh.
But pharmacy, that's the same with med imaging. They raise it to one.
Because everyone wants to do medical imaging. But
can you imagine?
Wait, what OP was it?
It was three.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Oh, they have to raise it to one. Same to as one. Medicine. You might as well get into medicine then.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
The judgment's very real.
Yeah, the judgment's super real.
Yeah, so I guess I've been quite fortunate. But in a lot of business scenarios, like when I was in commercial real estate, a lot of people would be nice. Like, you go out for dinners and social events and it just seems like everyone is so tight-knit, unified, but they're still thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
They're still thinking about how they can benefit and leverage the other party for, you know, their benefit.
Yeah.
In these kind of instances, you got to learn how to, I guess, read people.
Oh, yeah. You have to, for sure.
Yeah. And then, go from there.
Yeah. But I think that's like, I mean, like, just on the topic today about, like, you know, does money equal success? I mean, you could have two different, like, you know, I had a bad experience. Ruby had a good experience. I guess, like, you can find success in little things like this. For me, I guess success would be, like, in that scenario where I'm in an environment where the culture isn't bad, but I feel like I've been burnt so many times with my work colleagues or just the company that I'm working with. I think I've just sort of molded myself into my work colleague isn't my family. I work and then I do a good job. And then I upskill whenever I need to. And then that's when I keep going. And to me, you know, I think that if I can just be very good at my job as I'm upskilling and earning more money, and yeah, I would say yes.
That's success.
That is success. I feel like learning is such an important part of your day-to-day life. I would never stop learning. I always want to keep learning. And I think that, actually, you know, knowledge, that's success.
Knowledge is power, but it's useless until you implement it.
Correct. Oh, wise word. But yes, no, well said. No, but I 100% agree with that.
It's true.
I 100% agree with that.
It's true. Like, just the amount of people who, like, think and, like, I know a bunch of smart people in my life.
Oh, yeah, but if you can't apply it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like people who are really, really smart, like PhD smart, academics. But they're book smart. They're not, like, street smart.
You need to be both.
You need to be
both. You really do need to be both at this time.
Right? Yeah. You have
unless
to be
if both. You're book smart to the max.
Yeah.
That's different,
I guess. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, unless you want to be in academia, I guess you have to be book smart. That's your job or your role in this life, whatever.
I guess all the doctors and the professors, they need to be book smart. But
and street smart. But then some of them aren't like that.
I'll put it this way. You're book smart. And you will be respected when you are at a particular level and you prove yourself through certificates and competitions or et cetera. But if you're street smart, they may respect you because you're an easygoing person. Because that's you true. Have the energy to focus on somebody and give them 100% of the attention and give them the conversation that they require.
That's true.
That's street smart. But academically, they might not be.
At that level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah. I think that I admire those with even just above average knowledge.
I think you know being, being charismatic is such charismatic? A skill.
Yes. That is so true.
That is my goal. If I am charismatic, I am successful.
Is that success for you?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay.
So that's success for you. Charismatic.
I want to be charismatic.
But you are though. I think you are. Really. You're very charismatic. Oh, okay. No, Ruby, you are so charismatic. Like, I feel like your job need to be focused.
Yeah. I'm focused and I'm always willing to give 100%.
Yeah.
So I listen. I'm a great listener. Yeah. I admit that. Yeah. But am I charismatic?
I think you can, depending on the situation. You can. You know what I mean? Like, in your job.
Yeah.
You have to, you need to.
I need to do my background homework and research.
But that's like you being doing your homework. I think that's what, like, I guess in your job, if you need to be charismatic to, I don't know, get business or whatever, I think that I don't think people are charismatic naturally. I think you have to go through some sort of experience, some sort of great experience, I guess.
Because I used to be an introvert.
Yeah. And look and at now you I'm now. Like, huh. Yeah, look at you now, like talking up a storm.
Too much.
Before
the podcast, Diana is like, oh, stop talking. We want to keep this on the podcast.
Yeah, I was like, no, we need to tell your dentist story.
I'm like, okay, I shut up.
Yeah.
30 seconds later, keep talking,
but nah. But no, okay, so for you, charismatic defines success. For me, knowledge defines success. I think, and it comes back to it's personal. It's a personal view of like, what do you see as success?
I think it's good to have goals.
It's good to have goals. And I think you think about in Asian culture, like Taiwan, you know, like you know what the culture is like over there.
But in saying that, yes, they do value money, but I think they're a lot more resilient.
Oh, that's true. We yes. are very resilient.
We.
We're Taiwanese. We're resilient.
The generation prior is much more resilient. We're okay.
No, I want to be positive. We're very resilient. No, to be honest, I feel like we are resilient. We're definitely more resilient.
We are, but we can be better.
Well, yeah, that's true. We are lazy. That's the second
generation.
That's true. Actually, you know what? I've just learned we're millennials.
Oh, we're, really?
Yep. So you know how there's millennials and there's Gen Z? We're the middle. So they're blended because the thing is we're old enough to know something, but we're young enough to also know what the trend is in Gen Z. So we're the millennial.
Yeah, I know.
We're
the transition.
We're the yeah, I know. Anyway, off topic. But yeah, just to bring it back to today's topic. It's just like I think there is a certain aspect of pressure to succeed. I'm not gonna lie. I think growing up, so I think I'm gonna share like how I grew up with like the idea of money, because like there is a certain pressure growing up, especially when you're Asian. And I'm not saying like if you're a Western, like a Caucasian person, you don't have pressure. I reckon there is, but I think especially in Asian culture, I've been through that pressure of like being compared.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You get compared. Your mum or your dad be like, oh, you know, who and who got, you know, A in their maths, how come you got A minus? Like, or who and who did so well in piano and how come you're not doing it? Like, it's like you get compared. And I would say like my parents, like bless them, they didn't really go that harsh on me. But I think knowing a lot of the other Asian friends around me, I know they get the pressure. I'm very lucky. I think growing up, like I always try to compare myself to all you guys because you know how we went to Chinese school.
Mm.
There's a lot of, there's actually a lot of people that are smart that I've been to school with, especially in my grade, because Ruby was in my class, Charlene then later joined, but all of them are so, so, so smart. I felt like I was never at that level. I think I never knew what my strength was until as I got older. But I think when I was younger, yeah, definitely there was that massive pressure of like, I need to succeed. I need to do well in school. I need to get a certain grade. I need to do this and that. But I never achieved to where I'm happy, because I was never the A student nor the B. I think I was more like B and C, and I have gotten a few D's, but it depends on the top, it depends on the unit. If it's PE, yeah,
she's like, just I'm not interested, you don't deserve anything better.
Yeah, literally. So yeah, so that pressure was real. I have to, like, you know, just to get a little bit deep, I have to say that pressure has got me to a point of like my mental health was so bad in uni to the point where I couldn't get up from bed. I don't want to eat. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to exercise. And I was only 22.
That would be so hard, know? For you, because you felt like it's not what you wanted to do. Plus everybody around you was doing something else.
Correct. And it seems like you guys all, I think in my eyes at the time, it felt like you guys knew what you guys wanted to do. But little did I know as I got older, it's like, as I was changing through jobs, you guys started to change jobs. And I think it was actually a bit of a achievement, and I'm using air quotes, achievement for me, because you and Charlene actually both came to me and be like, how did you do it? How did you change jobs so easily? How did you achieve this and that? And I was like, I don't think I achieved anything, because when I was doing it, I think I was in our group, I think I did it so young that yes, I was scared, but I think I needed to do it or else I'm forever going to be stuck in that mental state. And I thought I was the odd one out of the bunch.
If anything, you just matured early.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, yeah, but that's my experience on like being Asian and being like having that pressure. It's a very sensitive topic. Yeah, in that sense. And I reckon a lot of people that are maybe in my position who are Asian but grew up in more of a westernized culture, and because of my background, I definitely struggled identity, like my identity in general. It's like, I'm Asian, but I'm not doing so well, but I'm not Caucasian, but I'm doing okay. It's like, where is that balance, you know?
So, I just want to share something. Yeah. I don't know if it will help.
No, it's but, fine. Yeah, go for it.
Like, yes, I understand there's these like stereotypes where the parents will want you to be a doctor, lawyer, etc.
Mm.
But you got to also understand, yes, they're the first generation of immigrants. They don't know any better.
That's true.
They don't know how, you know, the Australian society works, mm. what kind of roles can make you more money, how you can excel, etc. At the end of the day, I know most families anyway, your parents will want the best for you.
That's
like
true.
You always, like I always try to think in their shoes as well. You know, think in their point of view. Once they understand it, like I'm very blessed because my parents, they understand from my point of view, and I have two brothers as well, so they kind of just pan the way for me.
All the pressure goes to them. I'm the baby. I'm just a baby.
Yeah. So yeah, so they nice open to the be path the youngest. For me, and like my oldest brother is kind of like doing his own business and investments. Yeah, so true, like true. He can like, you know, pave the way.
True. But the you're point doing is... so well yourself too. That's the thing. But like, have you ever felt like? What about you? Like, have you ever felt pressure growing up?
You know where my pressure comes from. So, okay.
Yeah.
Ultimately, success to me is to be able to look after my family, look after my parents.
That's very Asian of you.
In a like, good that way. Is also very Asian,
that's,
isn't it?
That's
like,
a very Asian mentality, but I'm not saying in a bad way. I think I'm just stating the fact that like, that's a very Asian mentality, but I'm the same.
Yeah, because growing up, they've sacrificed essentially decades of your life just to make sure that your future is okay.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, and they gave you a fantastic life. Well, they gave me a fantastic life. I was in comfort. I didn't have to worry about anything. I would want to be at least that. And then to be able to, you know, give them like, let's say like a full-time income.
Yeah.
Like each.
Mm.
And yeah, just be able to make sure that they're happy so they don't have to think like, oh, like I don't want them. I want them to experience the most that they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once they get there, once I'm able to provide that, that's success to me
as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe I would say success isn't just one thing. Hey,
no,
success
no,
could be defined in so many different ways of how you give and take and all that stuff.
I think success, like to me anyway, like it's goals. Like you have these goals, like you have big goals, you have little milestones that you plant in between.
True.
Once you achieve them, you're successful in that goal, that mission, etc.
I agree. Yeah.
The reason why I love money, FYI.
Let's dive into that, hey? So no one think that you're a shallow person.
Like bringing a gold digger. Look, I love money because everything costs money. Like I just want less problems, you know?
And with the living costs being so high.
Yeah. It's not even just like living costs, like honest everything. Everything that you can think of costs money.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like my root canal. Like if I had money, like say if I didn't have money.
Yeah.
Then I'll worry about, oh, how am I going to like save money about like having this root canal done? Then I'll be in pain for a couple of weeks.
That's true. It's not like, it's not cheap either. Dentist appointments aren't cheap in Australia. So
everything costs money. So I just, in other words, I like freedom.
True. Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. To be honest, me too. I agree with that. I think, in other words, it's like the things you can do compared to the things you can't do. And I feel like when you can't do something, it just itches you more to be like, I want to do it.
Yeah.
But I think that's also a drive, right? It's a drive to set a goal. Be like, if I do this, then I can do the things I want to do.
Yeah.
Which is a good way to look at it.
It's the fact that you
take it as a challenge and you're like, challenge accepted. And like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And it may take some time to go there, but at the end of the day, when you achieve that,
it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
I think anything...
The sweetness of the fruit tastes so good.
I don't know where I read this, but it says anything that makes your blood rush is worth it.
Mm.
Like how many things make your blood rush?
It's like falling in love, right?
It's like falling in love, right? So
when... Yeah, literally.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you believe that money enhances who you are? deep down.
Wait, enhance in what sense?
So a lot of people think that when you have money, you might become, say, a jackass and just become really entitled.
Like when you have fuck you money?
Yeah. Or do you believe that once you have money, you really just enhance who you really are?
No. I don't think so. I think, I think the only enhancement that it does bring when you have money is the skill. Because you gotta have some type of skill to be able to earn that much money, right?
Yeah.
So the only enhancement I think, I mean, if I'm rich, sure, I may, look, when you win a lotto, or I don't know, when you earn a lot of money, at some point, your quality of life increases. The people you know better off, just in general, yes, it enhances in that way. And I wouldn't say, like, there would be a smidge moment of, like, yeah, I have some fuck you money, I'm just going to throw this money there, buy this for you.
Disrespect somebody just because you have money.
No, 100% no. Yeah. But I feel like it can come off that way when you have that much money. But I think I would like to think that if I do have that much money, like CEO of Facebook, if I was him, like, you know how he drives a Toyota Corolla?
Yeah.
You know, like, he doesn't just throw his money, and his wife is a doctor.
Mm.
Like, they're both have their own success, but in different ways. But it's just like, I look up to him so much because he doesn't let money define who he is. He still lives humble. He still lives like a commoner, like all of us. Yes, I guess his house has to be somewhat security up because, you know, he is a famous person at the end of the day.
Mm.
But I think other than that, like, they're very low key.
I love that.
You know, I love that.
Just know exactly who they are.
Exactly. You have to be. And then, you got to know yourself.
100%.
I think that's the thing. I think and if you look at Justin Bieber, right? He has verbally voiced the fact that when he was young, he has all this money. But when you have all this money when you're young, like, you become cocky. You become a jackass. I'm not gonna lie,
because he's young though.
But you're young, but I think when you're older.
And I think with his society, it's hard for him. So that's maybe true. The environment does make a difference.
True. But then you see those doctors, right, who worked hard and hard and hard. Like, they work hard to become, for example, a neurosurgeon. You earn a lot of money. I met some neurosurgeons that are jackasses.
But they don't know any better.
But it's like, do you think it's because they think they deserve it? Like, because they work so hard to get there?
Yes, but they don't know any better because that's their life. That's literally their life. They they graduate, they go into study. They've been treated like shit when they're registrars and fellow.
True.
So then, like, when they actually pass the exams, they're like, oh, I'm a consultant. Then I can do the same to other people.
I see.
So they don't know any better.
So no one humbles them.
Yeah, it's not okay.
No.
But they don't know any better.
They don't know any better.
So I don't know how to.
You think there'll be people in their life that humbles them down. You know what I mean? Like, but the thing is, like, I just.
But they're so busy.
I know. But I guess for me, it's like, because I may not know as many doctors or surgeons as you do, but most of the people that I do know that are doctors and things like that, like, they felt like they're entitled to it because they earned it.
Because it's such, like,
it is such a high pressure, like, journey to become a doctor and all that stuff. I get it, but it's just like, sorry, I just don't vibe. Like, if you can't be authentic, if you can't be down to earth, I just can't vibe.
No, I get
that.
I get it from your point of view.
Yeah.
But
you know where they're coming from.
And I do get it from their point of view.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like, you're like the bit in between. Like, you're the middle person.
Which is annoying. Yeah, I don't want to get it. I just want to live my life. Leave me alone.
Yeah, true. But yeah, I mean, but I have met some really humble doctors out there though.
Yeah, like, you know. Yeah. So it really just depends who they associate themselves with.
Yeah, that's true. That's true because my dad, he's retired now, but he used to own a pharmaceutical company. He used to make, like, hand sanitizers, hospital equipment. So he has to go to, like you, a little bit like you, like, he has to go to hospital a lot. He has to go and make business, build relationships and all that kind of stuff. From a young age, my dad has a lot of doctor friends. We always go out to dinner with him. Some of them actually was my dad's, like, dearest friend. And so I met this one friend or one family friend, which is my dad's friend, and he's a cardiologist. He's a cardiosurgeon. Is that how you call it?
Yeah, cardiologist.
Cardiologist, yeah. He was the most humble man I ever met. So when I was growing tall, you know how the your cartilage between your knee, between your femur and your fibula, when you're growing too fast, it becomes inflamed. Do you know about that? Like, so I had that.
No, I didn't know. Yeah.
I had that when I was 8. I was growing too fast. My body wasn't catching up, or whatever the anatomy is around my knee isn't catching up to the growth of my height. My cartilage and between the patella and the tendon, the patella tendon, it inflamed. So he has to actually operate on my knee.
Oh, Tom.
Yeah, it hurts a lot. But he was one. But even though he's a cardiologist, but I think he was also like general surgery as well. But he was able to look into that. And he was the most humble doctor I have ever met. So I have met some really, really nice doctors. Like, same. I'm not saying they're all bad, but I think majority of them, when they get to that stage, like a really, really top surgeon, they're jackasses. I'm not going to lie. I'm sorry, but they're jackasses. Yeah. But at the same time, like you said, you can see from their point of view.
I think it's like another topic. Because like, I think in high school, going to like a girl's school, everybody talks. So they kind of have like an idea of what you are. Yeah. So stereotypically, they might think that, you know, you're this person. They might think you're a bitch, but they never gave you a chance to know them.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So because I've gone through that,
yeah,
I'm like, I don't really ever want to judge somebody.
And which high school did you go to?
Stereotypically, I never want to like judge. I just don't want to judge somebody. We're not bagging up the high school, are we?
No. Okay, no, we don't have to. But yeah. I think that's a good segue to like, how do we, like, what would you say is like the biggest generational differences on how we view money between our parents and us?
We're a lot more relaxed. We spend money when
we want to.
Yeah, it makes us happy.
Yeah, and for them it's save.
Yeah. Because I think you met my dad. My dad is so conservative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so cute.
But your dad's super cute though.
I think it's a hobby for him as well. Maybe like everything is. He's like, oh, no,
But then, you put just like sometimes you're like you see your family, they're too frugal.
That's why. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, oh, I want them to have enough money, because I
not needing to be frugal. But do you think that's a habit more than
it anything? Is a habit? Yeah. But at least I know that they have money to do something else, because I don't know what their finances are like. I don't really care.
That's true.
I just want to make sure that they have enough to be okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. No,
but
I think
it is a habit.
It's a habit, yeah. Because the thing is, like, you know your family has money. No, like, I'm not saying, like, in a way of, like, we're rich, but we're comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know they can buy, like, for example, my mum can be so frugal on, like, what was the other day that she was like super frugal about? I think it was like a pair of socks. They're like $5 from Kmart. And I was like, mum, just get it. If you need socks, just get it. We lose socks every day. I buy socks like maybe every month.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I lose my socks. I don't know where they are. Maybe at the back of the washing machine or something. Gosh. But yeah. But no, like, you know, just for example, like that. It's like my mom will be super frugal and be like, no. I still got socks at home. I'll pair it with the other socks that doesn't match it. But it's underneath. Like, you know, you can't see it anyway. And I'm like, why? Just get it.
Yeah.
But you know, like, it's like that degree of like frugalness. It's like my dad, even worse. My dad's like, but you know, oh my God, if I talk about this, it's going to make me cry. But I'll give you guys a bit of a insight to like what the person my dad is the fact that because my dad had to stay back in Taiwan to work to provide us a lifestyle in Australia. And it's not cheap, you know,
it's
like,
so expensive.
Yeah, it's super expensive. And, you know, we moved over here in 2004 and the money is twice as more than Taiwanese dollar. So my dad can be so frugal to the point where he would be as frugal for himself, but he would spend immense amount of money on both me and my brother.
Mm.
So like the school we go to, the clothes we wear, the trips that he take us on every year when we were young, like he wants to give us the best of the best. And I didn't see it when I was younger. And now growing up, knowing how hard it is to actually earn money and to, you know, to even buy a house or, I don't know, groceries sometimes, you know, groceries are so expensive these days. But it's like, now I'm thinking, fuck, like, if I have a kid now, I don't even think I can send him to private school. I don't think I have the money to spend 20 grand when that 20 grand is like really you, I don't know, like you got bills to pay, you got this to pay, you
yeah,
got
this,
like, all this to pay. And on top of that, he was flying twice a year. And you got to know, like plane tickets are not cheap.
Mm.
They're like twice as much in dollar wise compared to Taiwan.
And they're more expensive now as well.
So much more expensive.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, like, you know, not to dive too deep into it, but, like, I can't imagine my dad, like, being so frugal for himself, but he will spend whatever that we want, what we need, what we want. It's also not good because when you get older or when you get to that teenage years or when you get into that early 20s, the way you view money, it's kind of like, whenever I want something, I get it.
Oh,
that's bad. You know what I mean? Like, that's okay. Actually a bad outcome. So I had to do a lot of self-development.
Mm.
So much more relaxed.
We are so much more. And I think, but like you said, it is a habit. Like, even if we do give them the freedom to do whatever they want,
mm.
they're so used to their routine.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, I think, yeah, well, there you go. So,
yeah, but it's okay.
It's okay. I mean, I think it's different. It's a different age. Like, it's a different era of like earning money, because you see social media influencers, hell, they're earning so much more.
Yeah, and I feel like my parents, at least, they're at a stage where they kind of give up to understand a little bit more about what they want to do.
Yeah.
And how they can help us grow more. Because right now, like you said, social media, e-commerce, like you can earn so much more money just being at home, and they don't get that, and I don't think they ever will.
No, it's too far out of what they know. It's too far out of what they know.
Yeah. For my parents anyway.
Well, for mine too. I mean, they're similar age, right? 60 I think something.
Mine's a little bit older.
Yours a little bit, yeah.
See. Lao da, mao lao yao.
Yeah.
Mm.
My dad's 64.
我爸快七十.
Oh, your dad's nearly 70. 快七十. Yeah. Mm. Nah, they're not gonna get it. It's just too much of a different generation to actually understand, like. In our generation at the moment, you can have the flexibility to do so much more and still earn a decent amount of money.
But they're okay with it.
They're okay with
it. Yeah, the point is like they're okay with it. Yeah. They've accepted it.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're
with it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So I also want to bring up observation topic for me.
Okay.
Is the fact that Asian loves money, right? We already know that. We love money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 有钱有势.
Yeah, exactly. We love money. But it's interesting to me because every year, or not every year, but most years that I go back for Chinese New Year in Taiwan, you know how we have to go like incense and pray to our ancestors?
Oh, yeah.
Right? You do that too, right? Uh-huh. In your family. So in my family, we do that. Mm. My dad do that every year. And when I was young, we do that every year when I go back to Taiwan. The observation thing that I've seen is we burn money. Not real money, but you know those gold papers that you like, you 把它卷起来 and then like 丢到
Yeah, either that or they do like origami and they make it into a lotus and then like they burn it.
They burn it.
Yeah, so it's like it's good fortune.
Good fortune. Right? And then you're burning money for your ancestors, like all the ancestors that passed on that's in your family. Like my for my granddad, like he passed away 2 years, 2021 July. And so I went back that year for Chinese New Year or the year after like 2022. Mm. We burn money because in our culture, it's kind of like you burn money for them so they can spend money in heaven. You know what
so
I mean?
So they don't have to worry.
So they don't have to worry. Yeah, I think that's the sentiment. I think that's the
otherwise you're going to be like me, worrying about everything. Yeah, and be like striving and loving money.
Yeah, and so that's why we burn so much money for them to use. It's like, so you never have to be, you never have to worry about money, you know, your retirement life up in the sky. Yeah, literally. So I think that's such a, that's just like a very interesting observation for me because I have to say, I don't think I'm like that into, I don't even know when Zongchujie is. I'm so out of it. I'm so...
Yeah, you're pretty westernized.
I'm so westernized now that I actually don't know when the Dragon Festival is or when the Moon Festival and all that. I have to wait for you guys to tell me. Yeah, so like, yeah, I'm too overly westernized now. I don't even know.
It's okay, I got you.
Yeah, but what is the what are the observational things that you've seen that you find interesting when it comes to money?
I was brought up in that kind of situation, so I'm used to it. So, like, you know, praying to your ancestors, burning money, and having a feast ready for them that you don't touch until spiritually they have their meal, and then, like, you bring it out, then you can eat it afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, I don't know, that was just my childhood, so it's very normal.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yeah.
I guess... The biggest difference growing up, I guess going to school and high school, how everybody else in the Western culture versus the Asian culture is that we are definitely a lot more frugal.
Oh, yeah.
But in saying that, whenever I don't feel at least that we're ever frugal to outsiders, we're just frugal to ourselves.
To ourselves, yeah. I would say, I have to say, like when we go out as a group of friends, it's like, I guess when you're with your best friends, it's a constant cycle of like, oh, yeah, yeah, 我这次我请,下次你请. It's like a constant until you die. You know what I mean? It's like, I'll shout this round, you shout the next round. And it's like, you just take turn every single time.
I don't know, less pressure, less work.
Yeah. And it's not, and you know that you're good friends, I guess. So you don't really worry too much about it. It's like, oh, yeah, one day it's fine. Like, maybe next time you'll shout. And then next time I shout. And
exactly.
You just take turns. So, yeah, that's true. I don't think it really matters to us that much.
But even then, like, I think because we had the upbringing of being, I guess, conservative, we learned how to save money and to, I guess, learn the financial language of, you know, saving money, spending money, and what it actually means to,
that's true,
you know, invest, etc.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, that's true. And even, like, making financial decisions of, like, when you get a little bit older, when you want to start investing in properties and things like that, it's all just learning, like gaining knowledge of when the market is up, when the market is down. It's like all that stuff. And I think when you spend money in that sense, you see it in a bigger picture rather than, oh my God, all my money is getting out of my bank account kind of thing, you know? So it's like, as you get older, I feel like money, especially to us, because I can't really speak for people that are living elsewhere, you know. I would say, like, for us, it's we can see a bigger picture when it comes to that stage in our life.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. So I reckon, like, you know, money to us at the moment, honestly, you just have to spend it smart.
Yeah.
Spend it really
smart. It's a language. It's honestly a language. Yeah, because at the end of the day, money is just a number that you use to exchange for value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, it.
Yeah. Yeah, you just got to understand that. Like, I just worded it, but like processing and actually understanding is probably different.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So once you get that, how do you leverage that to uplift your life?
Yeah. That's it.
And like you said, real estate. You probably know a lot more.
In our generation, I feel like we have a mentality of like, if you earn money and you don't spend it, what's the point of it sitting in the bank account? You can always earn more money. That is a mentality that I do hear quite often.
Really?
Yep. You can always earn more money because I think, okay, and I'm speaking from the context of like, you can be a good saver. But if you're a good saver and you're not spending money to, I don't know, enhance your life or enhance whatever you want, and to some, maybe they're happy that way, but to a lot, it's like you earn money to, that if you save money, you got to spend it. And in the context of like, you can be a good saver, but you're too frugal to a point where if you're not happy, why are you not spending the money to go travel, to enrich your life? That's what I mean. That's why a lot of the younger generation at the moment, it's like, yes, you save money, but at the same time, it's like you can always make more money and you can always, you got to spend the money to, I don't know, make yourself happy in a way. That's what I mean.
Okay, financial lesson to all the younger listeners out there. Yes. yes, you save money to do what you want to do, but always have some savings as a buffer.
Oh, yeah.
True. Just in case for a
emergency
rainy day
money.
Yeah, you want to have a couple thousand dollars to just be there, like if anything happens.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but obviously if you have a goal, say you want to go travel to Europe, then save up for that.
That's true. Yeah,
that's okay. Yeah. Like a lot of people, they like say they get the paycheck and then they spend it immediately.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But like I said, like money, finance is a language. Figure out what your personality is, what you want to do, what your goals are.
Yeah.
And then you kind of just like break it down from there, how you're going to achieve that.
That's true.
And it really, like you got to dive in deep as well to be like how your money sits. Because money is, this is the way I look at it. Like for business, this is what we say. Your CEO is the one who makes all the decisions, et cetera. He's a brain.
Yeah.
And then you have your salesman, marketing, who's your arms, accounting, et cetera, who are your limbs. But your cash flow is your bloodstream. If you don't have bloodstream that is running, then you die. So you got to figure out how to get that bloodstream running.
True.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's a good analogy.
Like not even just in business, you got to have it in your life as well. Like, so you are the brain of your life.
Yeah. I always just say have some common sense.
That too.
The people that I come across that has no common sense is a lot in life. Get ready for that. Like, I feel like I'm such a pessimist, but I have to, I feel like you're the optimist.
Are you serious?
In that sense, in the business world, I am a pessimist. I know I look not a pessimist.
Maybe
person.
In a hole, but like every day I'm the one who's complaining. In a group chat, I'm just like sending memes and be like, fucking...
No, that's true.
Why but do no, I have I just to deal like, with these people?
Yeah. Oh, look, I feel like we all complain at some point. I'm not going to lie. We all complain at some point, especially
some
if you're like out
daily.
Working. Yeah, but when you're working for so long, like, because you've been out for like, what, how many years? Seven?
Seven, eight, yeah. Yeah. Oh, as in like working.
Working.
Since like 21.
21? So, holy crap, what, that's so young. Wait, what?
Well, I started retail when I was 19.
No, but when did you? No.
Do med imaging.
No, yeah.
21. Med imaging is only 3 years.
Right.
That's why when it says it's OP1, I'm like, what OP1?
I feel like, yeah, no, I'm a pessimist in that sense. I feel like you just got to get ready.
Got to be selective.
Yeah. Am I being too real?
Well, I don't know. Like, I feel like when you're younger, you got to put yourself out there. But when you're older and turning 30, it's okay to be selective.
I feel like when you're young, 你很吃亏.
Because it may go on,
yeah. Yeah, no. I'm just saying, like, to the audience, like, who are younger, it's like, when you're young, you're going to cop it.
To be honest, like, this is what I was thinking when I was driving. I think a lot when I drive.
I know.
You're a diner.
All these, like... Anyway, this is what I was thinking when I was driving.
Yeah, okay. Like, share.
You know, you go through a lot of pain and, like, all these instances, but that allows you to have empathy, that you can actually relate to people. Right?
That's true. But then there are some days where you just want to be, like, oh, come on, it's common sense.
I know, but, like, because they haven't actually been through any sort of pain, they might have been spoiled, etc., they're not able to... like empathize, and that's their loss, not yours. That's theirs.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
but it's
Yeah,
I'm just been me and you have such different experience when it comes to like work life. Like I think I've just been burnt so many times. But look, there you do draw. Okay, no, it, all jokes aside, you have to draw a line as to how you it's all about street smart. I would say when it comes to dealing with different people, because when you're working you will meet so many different personality, different upbringing, and you know, just people in general. It's the way how you deal with them, and it's the way how you approach them. You can approach them, I would say, yeah, kindness is 100%. I think, you know, come deal with everyone with kindness, and understand that maybe you think it's common sense, but to them, they probably don't know better, and that's okay. And then that's something that they're probably going through and learning at their age, you know. And I guess, yeah, I guess I'm just joking a little bit because, you know, I think all of you guys out there can definitely relate. It's like when you're working for that long.
Surely,
yeah. Right? Like when you're working for that long, you have those days where like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
But no, all jokes aside, and, you know, I don't want this podcast to be very, very negative, but yes, kill them with kindness. Always give people the benefit. Never wrong people. Don't burn bridges. Never burn bridges.
That's a huge one.
Yeah.
Everyone knows each other.
Everyone knows
Unless
each other.
You have the yeah. ability to burn bridges, don't do it.
That's right. The biggest lesson I've learned in my career is do not burn bridges. You never know when one day you'll come across
Actually,
to them again.
Unless if they yeah. crossed a line that you really can't accept,
oh, yeah.
then boundaries. Burn it, ma'am. Just burn
it. Oh, for
it.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
Fuck
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah. True. Yeah. You got to stick with your boundaries as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like if it's just ridiculous, then fuck that. But
yeah. So true.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
99% true. Of the time.
Don't. Just yeah. don't burn bridges. Yeah. That's the biggest advice we can give. Hey,
yeah.
Just don't burn any bridges.
Card. Just work hard. I think a lot so of people true. Don't work hard. Work hard, work smart.
Yeah. Work smarter, not harder. That's my motto.
Work hard, work smart. Don't be afraid to work outside of your job description.
Yeah, that's so true. And don't be afraid to ask questions, even though you think they're stupid. And, you know, a lot of them will tell you there's nothing as a silly question. There is. However, just put your thick skin on, ask away.
Yeah.
Because the thing is that you're not going to learn until you ask those questions. Like at the moment, I'm learning. How government works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking so many stupid questions, but honestly, I have to give credits to my team. Like my team is so lovely. They're so nice. Every time I ask any sort of stupid questions that I think is stupid, they answer me anyway. And yeah. I think you have to also be confident in yourself that even though that you know it's a stupid question, comes out of your mouth sounds stupid, but don't let it embarrass yourself in the time that you're asking this question,
yeah.
because you know that question is coming from you, because that's how you're going to learn.
Yeah, because I think people yeah. are much smarter than yeah. you think.
That's true.
If they can feel that your intention is to be better at your job so you can help them,
yeah.
then asking Ask these away. Questions will get them there to
that's
make
right.
your life easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And the thing is, like, and just keep this one thing in mind. It's like, they can't judge you. They all came from the same level as you do.
Mm.
They may not ask the same questions, but to be honest, I bet you top dollar that when they're in that position, they ask a very similar question, just as stupid. Like, you can't tell me otherwise. Right?
That's true.
Right? Like, you can't tell me otherwise. It's like, because, like, I feel like there's just so many times where, you know, a good leadership can really thrive a team. And the thing is, if a good 100%. Leadership is yeah. not accepting the fact that this is just the hell you're asking that question, and maybe you're still trying to figure out how to ask questions in this particular team, you just ask away, honestly, and you will figure out how to ask questions later on as you know, get to know them more and how they like to write their papers and things like that. But I think that don't ever feel embarrassed, honestly. And if they make you feel bad, just know yourself. Just be confident. Know yourself that, look, this is just how I am going to ask until I know how to ask these questions in this team. Otherwise, don't tell me I'm doing it wrong, because yeah. I'm still asking questions at the end of the day, and that's all you can do too.
Yeah.
You know, be so, better.
Yeah. In summary, yeah. I guess have clarity.
Yeah.
A, know yourself.
Yeah.
What your goals are, where you want to be. B, take steps to be where you want to be. Doesn't matter what everybody else says.
Yep.
As long as you get there, that's what you want to see. Skin. Have thick for skin. Me, I think learn to read people.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
learn
D.
body language. Like, you know, true. How to. That's D.
D. D.
Yeah.
Learn how to read body language.
Learn body language. Learn tone. Yep. Because a lot of times, say if you're giving out a speech, they say 20% is actually what the essay is about, but 80% is tonality. Tonality delivers what your intentions are. So read that, read body language, then you'll be able to see what their intentions are. And then like kind of just, you know, it's like a game.
Yeah.
Play the game.
Honestly, play the game. Yeah. Like, I think that's the biggest struggle I've been through when I got into the world as a working girlie. I think that was my biggest struggle, is I don't know how to play the game. I don't know about you, but for me, in the industry that I straight up into, real estate.
Real estate might be harder. Yeah.
It's a bit harder because it's not an identified skill like Ruby, where she came out from as a medical imaging girlie. Whereas when you go into real estate, it's not, honestly, anyone can do real estate. Anyone can. As long as you can talk, you're outgoing, I don't know, you can muster up some shit, you can be a real estate agent. Like, that is like the bottom line. But I think
see, I feel like everyone thinks that way. Like, when I was in commercial real estate, everyone had your mindset, so they kind of just grab the surface.
Yeah.
So then when you meet a really good real estate agent, it's like, oh my god, they finally know what they're doing.
That's true. A lot of people don't know what they're doing in real
estate. Yeah, they literally just scrape the surface.
That's true.
What are you doing?
And I think it stems from the fact that anyone can do real estate.
Yeah, because everybody has that mindset. So they probably don't work hard enough.
And you don't need a degree to be in real estate.
Yeah, you just do a course. I have the course too.
Yeah, I have a course too. Yeah, I do. I have a certificate too. I can sell houses, guys. I actually have the certificate. Wait, hold on. Is this Selling Sunset? Actually, I've been binging Selling Sunset. Have you seen Selling Sunset?
Can we sell Taiwan?
Sell Taiwan? What, selling 101? Selling Yili Yi? But
Samba.
So, yeah. but no, like, yeah, all jokes aside, like, yeah, no, like, you don't need a degree to do this job. But whereas, like, I guess in Ruby's circumstance, you need a degree, you need a bachelor degree to do what she does. So I think for me, my experience is like, you need to know how to play the game, you need to have thick skin, you need to know how to read tones and how do you say pai ma pi in English?
Pai ma pi.
You gotta kiss ass a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Moderate amount. Like, when you're younger, that's how I experience it.
I never kiss assed.
If you guys disagree, I totally understand, because it is somewhat not fun to say it out loud. But the truth is, we live in a society where there's hierarchies. You always have to sort of kiss ass a little bit. But you play that game, you know? But look, this can be a whole different topic.
You can have this conversation with somebody else. Yeah. It's not really me.
Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. Like, it's different because in your world, you don't really get to... Because you guys are such...
we're such a small group.
Yeah,
and like, yes, as much as there are people who have more say, I guess... Like, they can't exactly do what they do without us.
That's right. That's true. Like, that's a good thing about being in health. And I think that's why parents want us to get into health.
Yeah, I guess it is more stable. But I don't know if my industry is stable.
It keeps changing all the time, to be honest. Like, at one point, nurses wasn't needed, you know?
Yeah.
During COVID, because they all want people that are experienced for like, 5 years of experience. You just graduated. Where do you get that? But now it's like they need nurses. They're pumping out seek and I don't know, in job, you know, description, like, we need nurses for this time, blah, blah, blah. I have neighbors that are nurses and they get text after text of like, we need a nurse between 6 to 7 for theater nurse. We need nurses for the pediatric. We need like, there's endless job. Please. As a health profession in Australia, you know,
nurses out there,
nurses, childcare workers. Yeah, like childcare workers, like there's so many. So I feel like, honestly, yes, in a way that they view it as like a stability, but we've seen times change.
It's really tough.
And over again, you know?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I don't know.
Right,
the more you get into society, the more you understand there's more that you can do.
That's right.
And I think we touched on this on the previous podcast.
We did.
Yeah. And the more you learn, the more you realize that working in operations might not be what you want to do. Yeah. Maybe you want to excel a little bit further.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at this point in time anyway.
Yep, true.
Because I just didn't want to do the same thing every day. And I love business. I love problem solving. So my job right now is a in-between.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but who knows what things will be like 5 years later.
Look, we're still young. We still have to work for another 30, 40 years. Honestly, make it count.
I know.
That's our biggest advice, isn't it? It's like, make it count. Don't get stuck in a job where you feel like this is the job. This is the only job you can do. So many avenues you can go down to. On to our last segment is the pursuit of passion. I guess that's kind of contradicts, does money equal success? Because passion equals success. Can it? It depends on which passion, isn't it?
I mean, yes, passion equals success, but to get there, you need to have a foundation, and that foundation might be money. Like, without that's money, true. It's like, say if you want to start up a business, how are you going to start up a business when you don't have the capital?
That's true. But then some people start up a business without a capital as well.
But then you need to, I mean, yes, that too. But like, you need to go find investors, et cetera, to make that happen.
That's true.
And the chances of you finding a wealthy investor when you are not in that circle, what are the chances?
That's true. Or I guess, I mean, that, but I think you're talking about in more of a broader business sense. But what about smaller business that becomes big? So, you know, for example, like they could be working still and hustle on the side as their side business and then
great.
Turn it into,
yeah,
you know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
100%
yeah.
Support that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, yeah, I think it just depends like how you do it, like how you build your passion into the business that you want to create and how you make that money and all that stuff, you know, the grind. And I think the achievement, the goal that makes you feel like you're successful.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
don't be afraid to do what you want to do. Just work hard and then, you know, be realistic, have a dream as well and just, you know, head towards it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think a lot of people are much more willing to help than you think. Like, I don't know, like people are lovely.
People are lovely. And give them the benefit of the doubt. I feel like
they're always happy to share.
They're not against you.
It's rare, actually. Yeah. Like, it's so rare to find people who have the passion to want to do more.
That's true. Yeah. But when you do find it, it's nice. I think on that note, we're going to, you know, end the podcast here. I feel like we've dived into quite a fair bit, didn't we?
Yeah. I think we sidetracked a bit. Sorry. If you think that we didn't actually touch on the topic enough, we'll do another one.
Yeah. I feel like, oh, and guys, I have to. A bit of a part two to 29 turning 30. And I guess, you know, we touched surface of it in our last episode.
Yeah, right? We did.
I reckon we have a lot to say. And this time around, we're going to talk about relationships.
We're going to talk about her relationship.
Yeah, more like her relationships. But we're going to look, I feel like it's a fun topic to talk because, you know, we are a little bit older. We're not in that, you know, early 20s relationship stage. I don't know. I feel like we can be very, very real about what we see, how we feel, things like that. Just, you know, a bit of a tea.
Yeah, because I think in a previous episode, we literally just scraped the surface. We just had a conversation, never really dived into.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, so next time in our season finale, we will just
go deep into the tea.
We will. We will share a little bit more. But yeah, no, thank you so much for coming on. It's been so much fun. We're going to go eat dinner now because Ruby's hungry. And I promise her that I'm going to cook. So I'm going to go start cooking dinner. But otherwise, we will catch you in the next episode.
Yeah, we'd love to come. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and this new mic, my audio quality is going
I love
up.
It.
Yeah.
It's so pro.
It's actually so much fun. But anyway, on that note, we will chat to you guys next time.
Bye.